Well, good afternoon, everybody. It is the end, towards the end of my trip here, and I've had a wonderful time with all of you Australians. It's been tremendous. Thank you greatly for the welcome that you've given to me. I'm going to this afternoon just, there's so much that I'd love to tell you, but I only have a certain amount of time. I want to tell you a little bit about myself, a little bit about the role, a little bit about the support that we can rely on, and also some of the work and the places that Mothers Union is operating. So I think I can, Greg, if we could start my... While he's doing that, this last week at Australian Council, and then it seems to have followed me round, is the Gospel of John, chapter 17. We did quite a detailed Bible study of that while we were at Australian Council. But to me, it's the thing that struck out so much is because it's the handing on of our faith, the handing on of God's love. And if you remember, before Jesus returned to be with God, he spoke with God in the form of a prayer. And he said, "As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." Jesus, of course, speaking about his disciples and all of us who want to follow him and learn about his teachings. And Jesus prayed to God in that way. "I came into the world to tell others about your love, and now my disciples must carry it on." And friends, that is us. And our aim in Mothers Union is very much about the sharing of God's love throughout the world. And at home this year, we have the Olympic Games in London. And so there's been a lot of preparation, a lot of angst at times. I know you've experienced this too in Melbourne in the past and also in Sydney. But in a way, we are all part of those games, all part of a relay race in which we're passing on the baton to somebody else. And you only have that small space on the running track in which to successfully hand that baton on. We have to put it in the hands of the next person all the time. Greg, can you tell me what I'm supposed to point this at? Oh, it is working. I thought I'd share with you, just as a sort of light-hearted run into what we're sort of talking about today, some of the things that happened to me on when I'm travelling around. The members in UK know very well that I'm very fond of teddy bears. And I have a number of teddy bears to the extent that I've also been given a number of teddy bears. And every time I arrive home, my husband says, "You haven't got another teddy, have you?" They're all around my study. They're confined to my study. But this was an occasion when I was going to a Mothers Union conference and I had to travel from South London, where I live, across London to catch a train going north. And John had got the case down for me that he thought I wanted. And I didn't like to tell him it wasn't, because he so hates going up into the loft to get it. But this case, when I was on the underground in the rush hour in London, which is pretty tight, I can tell you my case burst open, as you can see there. And there was nothing I could do. There was no room to lay it out, to bring it back together and do it up properly. I'm struggling with this case, trying to keep it together to get to the other end. And at King's Cross, I bought myself a strap. But there are all sorts of experiences I have. When I went down to Guyana via New York, they managed to lose my case. And I didn't have clothes for about 48 hours. And then I thought, well, I've been traveling in these clothes now, I'm wearing these clothes all this time. They don't know that. What's the problem? It's pride, isn't it? It's pride. It's what I'm worrying about, what I look like, and that's not what it's all about. And this was opening a program that we have in All Ireland, which is about the commercialization of children in the press, media, TV, and so on. And I'm hanging on to dear life for balloons. People find me all sorts of things to do. Sometimes I have to cope with sheep. Got plenty of those around here, so I've seen. And then there's this, was I going to have to go down a coal mine? I hate, I'm not very good at going into the depths, I can tell you. But I think perhaps something to learn from that as a leader, I think, is to know that although you have a status and you have a role, underneath, you are the Mothers Union member like everyone else here. And you find yourself in these awkward and sometimes funny situations, and then you have to cope with them. I'm married to John. We reached 45 years in June, on June the 10th, and to celebrate that is something very special to us. He's always supported me in my role in Mothers Union, as I supported him, as I'm sure many wives do, in his role, in his job, which took him also all around the world. And we lived for 10 years in Africa. And this is my family. Some of you know that I'm waiting to hear from my older daughter, who's expecting twins this month. I left them with the message that she had to hold on to these twins till I get home in June. So far, so good, and I feel now I've only got 48 hours to go, and that we will make it. It's something of a miracle, because Justin, when he had medication some years ago, affected his sperm count, and so he had a zero sperm count. So for them to have these two children, as they are, a boy and a girl, that we know, thanks to modern technology and science, is very special, because they managed to actually stimulate enough that we could find some sperm to fertilize the embryos. So this is very special for us, and I'm somewhat excited. And then I have my own support locally in my own church. I think that's what I've got, yes. It's a little bit difficult to see the screen up there. I come from a church in Sanderstead, in Surrey, and it's a very vibrant, lively church. It's a 12th century church, so we have a great challenge as to the geography of the place, because we have pillars everywhere. It's been extended over the years, so we're almost in the round. But we have the problems, I say, of a church that was built over 800 years ago. And we can have separate small meetings in the church, be fine, but to get together is very, very difficult. And nowhere have we found a place to hang a screen. So to have one today is brilliant. They are my support. It's my spiritual home. And I have just had so much strength from them, as I do from the home team of Mothers Union. This is my own branch. I'm not the leader of it. And we've just recently enrolled 10 new members into our Mothers Union branch, which all started just with prayer and a coffee morning, selling cakes for funds. We'd put all the resources out, and God must have sent us these younger people within our church to inquire about Mothers Union, because they said, if we can join together, we will. I don't think they would have done it on their own, but we have these new members. Now, we work from from Mary Sumner House, which is our headquarters of Mothers Union, and it's in Tufton Street, just behind that great building of Westminster Abbey. And this is myself outside the entrance, together with Reg Bailey, who is the chief executive of Mothers Union. I have to say, I think I have one of the best roles that you could possibly have in the charity sector. And I suspect that Reg thinks that his job is pretty good too. We have the world, or nearly 83 countries, as our artist's pad, if you like. You see Reg and I here together in the photo, and I show it to you purposely because it's important that the chief executive and the worldwide president work closely to achieve the aim and objectives of Mothers Union. Throughout the organisation, we have volunteers and members, but also we have a staff working alongside us at Mary Sumner House. And we're all striving to get the best result for the organisation. Not a them and us situation, but a together, and how do we get the best for Mothers Union? We know that we have a good and a wonderful organisation in Mothers Union, and we want to make sure that that's sustainable and moves on into the future. Which is why recently too we've been doing a lot of forward thinking, blue skies thinking that we call it. And the Australian Council here is looking at Vision 2020. Where do you want to be in 2020? And I think it's important. And as Libby Crossman said to me, who's your provincial leader, Australia has to think where it fits into the family whole. We are a big family. We're in all these countries. But what is the place for Australia? You are placed here. You're not, as many of our countries are that are part of us, in a developing world. You are in the developed world. So you're much more advanced in many ways and much more akin to us in Britain, to New Zealand and Canada. But then also there are little pockets, shall we say, in the country too. You have Aboriginal people too. So is there something there that we should remember? The way of working too, I think, it illustrates a shift for us anyway in the centre that we've had over the years a very dependent culture from countries outside of Britain. We have in effect 98% of our membership of Mothers Union outside the United Kingdom. 98%. 98% of the funding still comes from the United Kingdom. So we have a big challenge on our hands, really, because it's not a particularly healthy thing to be doing. We want to change that dependent culture that we have in the world into interdependency. We see our faith as an active one, worked out through the nurture of families worldwide. And it is the process that has inspired the development and the social policy work to grow as well. I'm aware that we in Britain and you here are facing challenges within within society, those that affect marriage particularly. And I think that is something that we all need to be thinking seriously about. We have the advantage, of course, in London because we have employed staff, professionals who give us assistance and bring us help and skills that we haven't actually got within our own volunteers. We changed the way of working way back in the 1990s, and from that time onwards we have had professional help. It has meant that the work has grown tremendously. It has enabled us to do more and more programs that are worldwide, that we all should own, not just us. The Mothers Union Literacy and Development Programme, about which I'll say a bit more later. The UK Parenting Programme that grew into a worldwide parenting programme. A Family Life Programme that exists in Uganda. And also the work that we're able to do at the United Nations. We do have consultative status. in the Economic Forum at the United Nations, which means that we can send people, and we do every year, to the Commission on the Status of Women, which is a body that is looking at the situation of women throughout the world. And they meet every year, and we have input into that. We originally just sent somebody from the UK, but when I went in 2002, I realized that the meetings were very much geared to areas. There would be an Australia area, an Asia area, Africa area. They call them caucuses. And so the boundaries didn't cross over very much. And when I realized that we actually in Mothers Union have the opportunity to speak to grassroots in all these countries around the world, that we can actually be advocates for their voices, and that we can actually use these women. We have over the years taken many from Africa to that particular meeting, and they can actually voice the experience. How much more powerful that is that they do that than us. Well, there's the Mary Summer House staff. There were about 40 in all. And they're young staff. They're very committed. Many of them become members of Mothers Union as well. And then when they go out, leave us, because they're often on a career path, they will move on to other agencies as well. But the word then of Mothers Union continues to flow out around the world. This is just to show you the close connections that we do have with Lambeth Palace and the Anglican Communion. This was actually the launching of a book on the history of Mothers Union by Cordelia Moyes, and the launch was at Lambeth Palace. We had Jane Williams there, wife of the Archbishop of Canterbury, and who's there? It's myself, Margaret Centerbu, and then previous presidents of Mothers Union. Rachel Newgee, some of you will remember, they've all been to Australia. Christine Innes, Trish Hayward, who was the last central president to come. Hazel Treadgold, I know that some of you have mentioned, was also there. I don't know if Pat Harris came to Australia. But they're all previous presidents, and we keep in touch with each other, and we're very closely in touch, as I say, with the church centrally. Communications are key, and are so much helped these days by the by IT and the increased. I'm just changing my notes here. an increase in emails, faxes, Skype. A lot of people use Skype. We use Skype now sometimes for our international smaller meetings because we can't afford to bring everybody to the United Kingdom all the time. This is the current trustee board. We work differently in the sense that we are a British charity, but we come under British law or English law. And so we're formed into a charity which has to have a trustee board, which has the legal responsibility for the organisation. And these are the current elected trustees. We have two from outside the UK, and you probably can recognise Marilyn Olds there from Australia. We're in an election process at the moment, so that board will change in the new year. And we have just agreed to extend the governance from three posts that come from outside the United Kingdom to six. So there will be a much greater international governance of this organisation beginning in the new year. part of my role all the time is meeting people, talking to people, talking about Mothers Union, just really sort of trying to understand where people are coming from. I learn about how the church works in different places. It isn't always the same, which is important because what is there underpinning Mothers Union? This is actually at Old Alsford, which is the birthplace, birthplace of Mothers Union in the Winchester Diocese at the International Wave of Prayer on Mary Sumner Day last year. This is one of the diocesan presidents from Zimbabwe Diocese. From one of the dioceses in Zimbabwe, central Zimbabwe. And there in Wales with the Archbishop of Wales, Barry Morgan. And somebody who you might be interested to see, this is Glynis, who's the new, she was just commissioned last summer, the international president of GFS. I know we have GFS here in Australia, and I believe Glynis is coming to Australia in September. And this is joining members. As we went to the House of Commons in London to actually give our support to Reg Bailey, our Chief Executive, who has chaired this year a committee on the commercialisation and sexualisation of children. Something very central to what Mothers Union is believing, and we went to support him as he delivered a talk to Members of Parliament. And here, some of you may recognise this lady from Melanesia. This is in a 100-year celebration of Mothers Union in Kampala in Uganda, which I was privileged to attend. Sometimes I think we forget how old Mothers Union is. It was started in 1876. And then it went rapidly around the world. And this is the 100-year celebration of the Ugandan Mothers Union. This is Lambeth Conference in 2008, talking with women from the Congo who were there with their husbands. I've just realised I've moved. And is everybody hearing at the back all right? Yep. I want to share with you something of my role in the sense of being on the fast track for giving funding, relief funding around the world. It's a Mothers Union Relief Fund. And this morning, just this very morning, I had an email from the Congo, in which is telling me that people are fleeing from their areas, fearing the exactions done against them by the battle of fighting between the loyal army and the rebels. Thousands and thousands of people are displaced in villages and towns around them for security. There are 20,000 people displaced, and they need food, clean water, and other means as kitchen tools, bedding, etc. During this month too, the community of Bunyaki, which is north of Bukavu town, has been victim of attacks four times. From they come in from the surrounding mountains. These militia come into the villages at night and they kill people and they rape the women. On the night of the 13th and 14th, which was just last week, 41 people have been killed by pangas. Those big knives. Many women raped and 40 houses burned and all the properties looted. And it goes on. These are we have members there. Do keep them in your prayers. They have asked for money that we can actually send to provide food for some of the people. They send us a budget. For instance, they've identified 128 households in one village, 130 in another, and then they will actually distribute this food to vulnerable women and little children and those who are unable to walk, cripples and so on. It's very immediate work. We can often get our relief funds because of the network of Mothers Union before the big guys even get there. So it's a very important part of our work and something I take very seriously to have that opportunity to fast track that together with my chief exec and one other trustee. It then gets ratified by committee. But if we wait for the committee meeting, it could be too late. This is in Georgetown, Guyana. We'll come on to a brighter note. But please do remember the people of the Congo in your prayers. This is Georgetown, Guyana, and the Mothers Union there is working with in a residential home. They first of all adopted a couple of rooms and the people who lived in those rooms. They painted, they decorated, they furnished, and then they continued to visit the people who lived there. And this was 2 years ago. I understand now they have adopted all the rooms in this residential house for the elderly. And this is back in Wales, in Swansea, in Wales, with a breakfast club, in a very deprived part of the town. Many of the mothers will be single parents, and they come together, they get breakfast and coffee, and of course, friendship and love. Well, I've put in a few personalities in the sense that I think it might be nice for you to know. This is Roberta, and she's the provincial representative on our main board. And she keeps in touch with Libby Crossman, your leader. So all the business that we have on that board is actually shared with the leader here in Australia and other parts of the world. And then we have an outreach team. And Sue on your left is the volunteer. She's a trustee like myself. And Nick is the head of the outreach group for the work beyond UK. So all our program work is dealt with by Nick and her staff. And that's Rob on the left. And then you've got Sarah, who actually had left us, but has come back for the moment because Naomi is on sabbatical at the moment because she needs a break, to be honest. So those are our outreach staff around who are working all with people all around the world. Well, Mothers Union, of course, is an international group and it's worldwide. This is in Canada. And I've gone there for the conference, their last conference they had. My chief exec, Reg, is there at the moment because they have their Canadian conference this week. These are ladies from Sudan who are on our Mothers Union Literacy Program. They're wonderfully colourful and beautiful. They're so keen to learn. It's really great to meet them. And this is in the Arctic, I think. Yes, enrolling new members of Mothers Union in the Arctic, above the Arctic Circle. We don't have any in Antarctica, I have to say. This they come together sometimes. The groups will come together. They asked us for a Mothers Union flag. Because what they will do is that they put it on their vehicle, and then the priest will stop somewhere, or the leaders will stop somewhere, and put up the flag, and the people arrive. They come from around. So I think that's the only time we've been asked for that sort of resource. And these are some of our, we used to call them Mothers Union workers, we now call them coordinators, because we discovered that a worker doesn't actually give the right feel. Some of them felt that perhaps they were considered to be domestic workers and things like that. In fact, they're development workers, so at their request and consulting with them, they're now called development coordinators. And these are a few You might have Cynthia Yin Yin Ma in the middle. This lady is in Burma. And I think we've got somebody here from probably Melanesia, is that right? You probably know better than me. But some of them you will recognize from this part of the world. Now, this is a map just to give you some indication visually of where we are in the world. It can be quite surprising to know that 48% of our membership is in Africa, but 49% is in India. In the Indian church is an ecumenical church, the Church of North India and the Church of South India. And when they became ecumenical, the Mothers' Union was there, is absorbed into the Women's Fellowship of those two churches. And they are now affiliated to Mothers' Union. There are 49%, 48 in Africa, 2% in the United Kingdom, and 1% elsewhere. Now, just to remind you of our aim and objectives, because I think we should and not forget what we're about, to demonstrate the Christian faith in action, and I say that very loudly, in action, by the transformation of communities worldwide through the nurture of the family in its many forms. Just to whiz you through some of the examples where we are doing that. To uphold Christ's teaching on the nature of marriage and to promote its wider understanding is the first of our objectives. This is actually my daughter who's expecting twins. Been married 4 years now. It's a very emotive, very important objective that we have there, but it's also about embracing people within their lifestyles as well, which is very important. And the second objective is encouraging and equipping parents to bring up their children in the faith and life of the church. And that is one objective that really goes back to Mary Sumler in the days when she formed the Mothers' Union. I think sometimes we forget it's about education in the faith as well. We had a baptism in our church the other Sunday. It was a celebration, I think, as it should be. Church was full and not a spare seat anywhere. There were many young parents and children, many of whom are not normally in the church. They're not familiar with the church or the service. But I hope they enjoyed it. I think they did. And they will remember the day as special. We try to make it very special for them. And a day of celebration. And we actually allow them to take the baby right around the church to meet everybody. And so they do really get a very warm welcome, and that hopefully they might possibly return. Whatever we do, let's make those who inquire about the Mothers' Union too feel really welcome. Here we are. Maintain a worldwide fellowship of Christians united in prayer, worship, and service. I'm not quite sure why I've got this one here. Let me bring in the other one first. That's right. What I wanted to share with you, and somebody asked me at council, how are the Mothers' Union in Baghdad? Baghdad has to be the biggest group that we have in the world, a branch of about 4,000. That's not quite the number you have in Australia, but it's a huge group, and Andrew White will tell you that the Mothers' Union is his church. They were formed, of course, in what has been the most difficult times. The times when they had to, they were under attack from fire, from rockets and things. And there are stories that, when these come over, they get down on the floor. And they don't just stay down the floor, they carry on with their service. So I said, and the Mothers Union members are there every day of the week, helping with a clinic that they have formed and also with the orphans in the area. Now, the picture in the Canarist is me. And I put that in because that was in plus, these are some of the unusual things you might get asked to do, like canoe up the Demerara River. And this is just that in South America. And, we had gone up the Demerara River to actually go to Santa Mission, which is, a mission on the side of the river where the people from the jungle have come to live. Now, one of the children in that mission was adopted by Mothers Union there to save her being adopted by a family which came from Europe. They felt that she should stay as a Guyanese child. And so they were able to provide sufficient funding for her to go to school there and to stay with the parents who hadn't been able to actually afford her, if you like. So she has become a Mothers Union child. I have to tell you, she's doing fantastically well. And she goes to secondary school this autumn. And she will be supported there as well. She has to travel weekly to Georgetown, where the school is. And the Mothers Union there will provide her with accommodation during the week. Isn't that lovely? This is another object, promoting conditions in society favourable to family life, to stable family life, and the protection of children. And this is a group, the Mothers Union Nursery School, that has been formed in Georgetown, Guyana. And this is in Trinidad. A home for children who find themselves, for whatever reason, orphaned. And sometimes that can be because of domestic violence within the home. It's run by the Mothers Union there, and they've actually been given awards for how well the place is run. And the children were so happy; it's just lovely. The children can be dropped off late at night, sometimes rescued from families and taken to this home, and they keep them there as long as they need to be looked after. If they can go back to the family with work with social services, then that's fine. But there's a place at this home for as long as they need it. There we are. Aren't they gorgeous? And then the final object. Help those whose family life has met with adversity. When you have a child with a disability, you have a family that has a disability. And this little girl was helping me to open a snack bar, which Mothers Union is running in Georgetown, Guyana. They are raising funds for the work that they do with the poor families in the town. This is outside the cathedral. That snack bar comes and stands outside the cathedral every Sunday. And people come out of church and they have their coffee and they have their snack. And Mothers Union is running that. It's mobile, so they can move it and take it to various places depending where they feel they can actually sell the goods. This lovely little girl actually was very upset because just after this photograph, she dropped it all on the ground. But it's brilliant. And of course, we have the times when we help people who are in a hospital, just walking alongside people. This is a poster campaign against domestic violence that the Mothers Union in the West Indies had planned and prepared and distributed to schools. Well, let me tell you just a little something about our main programs. Am I all right for time? Which are the literacy program here. I need to bring it up on my screen because I actually can't read the writing on that. Literacy program is working in three countries. It's working in Sudan, it's working in Burundi, and I know there are connections between Burundi and Australia, and in Malawi. We've reached 73,000 learners since we started it in 2000. I'm absolutely thrilled to be part of that, and the first group that met in Burundi, I was able to actually be there and experience with them, getting that off the ground. There were lots of teething problems. We work in literacy circles, a lot like you are here today. You're in the sort of what I might call the traditional school way of learning, row upon row upon row, looking at somebody's back. In a literacy circle, it does actually mean working in a circle, so that you can actually see the person opposite the other people in the group, and you can exchange, and it shouldn't exceed more than 25, and at the outside, 30 people. They come from miles around. They join. When I went there in 2000, they were, I went to one, there was over 100 people sitting like you are today. And we said, you have to work this out, because it's not going to work with those sort of numbers. So we had to introduce a waiting list and actually get people to work in circles. And we went round the country, and in one of the dioceses, lo and behold, one group sitting in a circle. It was absolute magic to see that, because we had thought we'd got the training wrong, that there was a reason, that we had something we'd missed, it wasn't work. And I said to the facilitator, is this how you always work? She said, yes, we work in a circle, and she drew it in the air. And so we used that particular facilitator then and another one to actually work with the rest of the facilitators and get it right, because it was so important for the success of that particular program. Anyway, they now have literacy in all the dioceses in Burundi, and we've also introduced and developed the program to be literacy and development and financial education. Because once they were literate, they wanted to use their skills. They wanted to start small income generating businesses. They wanted to work with other people about parenting, HIV AIDS awareness, all those sort of things. And so they needed to know that they could actually safely and sensibly work with money and not be cheated, which is extremely important. We do have, we are fortunate to get funding for this program. We have something called Comic Relief, which has been working with us over the years with this program. They've just promised us another £1 million for work in the Sudan, but with this program. Now I'm just flicking up some of the places where we have it. And it's been a success story, one that you should be proud of too, and it's growing and growing. Most of the world's women most of the people who are literate in the world are women. And that really is the reason for having this program. A family life program which goes in Uganda and is across the community. Not just working with Mothers Union, not just working with the Christian Church, but working right across the community. As we have done with literacy, they choose the issues, the challenges that they have in their life, and they work with those. Those of, again, of HIV, AIDS, parenting, and literacy, and these things that they can all work together with. They plan and they work together with facilitator, a local facilitator who works in the local language. We train the facilitators and then they go back and work in their local language. Yeah. There you are. These are some of the things that they will be working with. Home-based care work, environmental protection, human rights, income generation, and model homes. It's wonderful to see a model home and to see them how they adopt various farming techniques. Absolutely important for sustainability. And then finally, the parenting program, which is now operating in all around the world now, actually. I can be specific as I'm putting up now on the screen. But it is something that is growing, and I know that there is some work at the moment between Melanesia, Australia, and also possibly Papua New Guinea. Now, I thought I'd put this in to show you something of Mary Sumner House and our income-generating project. These are meeting rooms in Mary Sumner House that we have refurbished. We used to, and I know some people have told me they have stayed in the rooms at Mary Sumner House. Because of local authority and all its wisdom has changed the goalposts, that's not now viable. So we had to think, what do we do with our building? So we've moved all the work floors up to the top two. And this is the first and second floor in which we have refurbished these rooms, knocked down a few walls, and we let these out to business and government to use to raise money. And they're very well used, and it's been an addition to our income. So we have our own income-generating project. So there we are, one big family, 4 million of us around the world in 83 countries, all working in the same direction, but thinking about the future. So what was my vision when I took this job on? I did have one. If you haven't got vision, then you don't do anything, is my motto. So you do need it. So it's deepen our faith. Fresh ways of working. How often do we find somebody says to us, oh, we did it that way. We've always done it that way. You've met that, haven't you? Do take risks, do try some new ways of doing things, because we know that things change, society has changed around us. We're working in a different society, and we need to be relevant. It was to sustain the programs and projects and the local ones that we already had, but to grow those. And I felt if we do that, we actually do add new members. And that's certainly been true around the world. We are constantly increasing in our total numbers. But it's countries like ours in the developed world where the numbers have been dropping down. And reach more people. We tried something called roadshows about 4 or 5 years ago. I met 6,000 people in 2 weeks in 7 venues. It was wonderful. But I think, too, we need to remember it's not my vision only. It's God's vision. It's God's plan. Not mine, not ours. The mission belongs to God. Allow the gospel to shape the direction. Absolutely key to the future work of Mother's Union. Oh. And of course inspired and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. And of course God's love and his faith in us. Don't know whether to stop at this point, but just to tell you that I do have a blog. It's waiting for something to go on it at the moment. So I haven't looked at it since I left, but there will probably go on next week. So if you feel that you would like to keep a little bit up to date, that is the address for my blog. And of course, to remind you that in Australia, and the Australian Council last week, they are looking forwards, not backwards. They have a vision, so they're not standing still. They will be looking forward. Now, have I 5 minutes before questions or not? I will quickly, what I wanted to do and what I would like to share with you, because I know sometimes it has been difficult to feel that we can ask younger people to join us. And I just wanted to share a dialogue that I had with a young member of Mothers Union. She's still at university. She's a young mum. And so we thought I'd like to speak with her to get her feeling about Mothers Union. So I think sometimes we feel inhibited ourselves in thinking that we're getting older and that maybe younger people wouldn't want to join us. So I said to this young woman, can you tell us a bit about what you are doing as a Mothers Union member? And she said, my main aim as an MU member currently is to inspire more young people to join the Mothers Union. I currently study at uni and we've made links with the Christian Union. We're organising a stand at this year's Freshers' Fair. That's, I don't know if you call that, that's the week before uni starts and they all come together. But the most exciting venture is we are organising a tea and toast stand for Freshers' Week that will be manned by MU members offering tea and toast to the first year students before they go on their nights out. I don't know if that means that it'll be a bit safer. but it also gives an opportunity to chat to the students. So when they ask questions, what can the MU do for me? They can answer, they give me tea and toast, and we're great people too. There is obviously much more to the MU, but it's like shoe shopping. You don't buy a pair of shoes because there is a leaflet outlining the benefits of the shoes. You buy them because you like the look of them. And on that note, I'll finish.